Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Those are some of the sounds from the Women's March last weekend. They were marches held all over the country. Got a lot of media attention. A couple days earlier, there were a lot of people in Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. Not so much media attention, except for negative media attention surrounding the misbehavior. It's turning out to be maybe not the misbehavior of some Catholic schoolboys. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, January the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Women's March and the March for Life. Sarah Foster, president of Feminists for Life, will be our guest here for the first few minutes of the program. Tom Baker joins us after that. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 2. Then we're going to spend some time with Brian Thomas, a science writer for the Institution for Creation Research, on the claimed discovery of a missing link in human evolution. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We get that email right here in the studio in real time. You can also send us a tweet, our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or our listener comment line is open 24/7 for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Women's March and the March for Life, Sarah Foster, president of Feminists for Life based in Washington. She's creator of the Women's Deserve Better campaign. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be back with you.
What kind of message do pro-life feminists like yourself get from the Women's March?
You are not welcome here. That's the message. We're not welcome with them. However, they're welcome to join us. And I think that's the real difference. The pro-life Women's March was really on Friday in Washington, D.C., and actually pro-life women's events have been going on across the country since January 7th. And the pro-life marches don't end until this Saturday. There are events across the country today, and they continue through this weekend. It's an enormous, sort of a pilgrimage, if you will, of pro-lifers that can keep on coming with their children. They come as young students. They grow up. They have families. They bring their friends. And we're here. We're here to stay. We're here until no more women cry and no more children die. And we don't give up on women, and we don't say that we're going to accept the status quo in terms of our sacrificing our families for our education or careers. We believe that women are capable, and we believe that women, with the support of our society and schools and workplace, can do a lot, and we don't have to choose between having children or not. So I think those are the big differences. We want to welcome all those women who came to D.C. and the other marches that weren't canceled across the country, supposedly for women. We want them to join us because this is the true feminist movement. It's pro-life.
Talk about those cancellations for a moment, if you would, Sarah. It was not so much reported in the news, but it was, in fact, occurring that a lot of the planned women's marches were not going to happen. What was going on there?
Well, there was an implosion of a lot of events. Half of the sponsors or more decided to stop supporting the women's marches because of anti-Semitism. And I think that it's really important for people to understand that at Feminists for Life, we don't discriminate because of someone's age, size, location, gender, religion, or any other reason to discriminate against someone. Everybody's welcome at the March for Life in D.C. and other marches and rallies across the United States.
Why do you think it is that the Women's March gets so much more press? I mean, March for Life has been going on for decades and shows no sign of dwindling. It's more and more populated by young people and young women there in that march. Why do you think it gets so little press attention versus the overwhelming attention given to the Women's March?
It's a choice. It's a choice made by mainstream media, and we're thankful for people like you, Todd, who get the word out that there are events, huge events, across this country. And they keep on getting bigger, and they keep on multiplying. I mean, it used to be there was one march in D.C., and I got to tell you, from our staff's point of view, this is just extraordinary, also exhausting, but also exhilarating, because you can't believe that every day and every year you find out there's another event, and we're shipping placards saying, women deserve better than abortion, or peace begins in the womb, or all people are equal, all choices are not. And people keep on asking us, can we get some more placards? We need more placards. Please ship them here, ship them there. It is so exciting to see this side growing. And after a while, there's going to be a point where our social media gets through the message that real feminists support children, and they like men, too. We like men. We're the feminist group that appreciates men being in the lives of our families, that appreciates strong fathers. We appreciate everybody coming together on these days, and they're so peaceful. And the joy, I mean, every single march, you can look at the pictures online of the marches across the country, there is such joy and happiness. There's not scowling, there's not yelling, there's not vulgarity. There is absolute real joy thinking about the fact that we're here to solve problems for women. Like, and everybody's doing it in different ways. For Feminists for Life, we're doing it through WomenDeserveBetter.com, our new Help Her, Help Herself, and Have Others Help Her Too websites. There's pregnancy care centers across the country. This is real joy and real love, and it is so attractive. Oftentimes the media just wants to do something that's controversial, and love and peace doesn't seem to be a big controversy.
So talk a little bit about how feminism is generally the face that is put on feminism by things like the Women's March versus, and I'm sure you have to try and explain this constantly when you attend pro-life events, that you can be a feminist, perhaps completely differently explained or understood, and not favor abortion on demand.
Right. I think more and more the pro-life movement understands that Feminists for Life has been around since before Roe v. Wade. We were founded a year before Roe when our co-founders were thrown out of a NOW meeting. They were trying to send the message that abortion is against the basic tenets of feminism, which is nonviolence, non-discrimination, and justice for all. And because we've been around so long, and because we are one of our co-founders, met Alice Paul, the woman who finally succeeded in achieving a woman's right to vote through the 19th Amendment, and she told us that we weren't the first pro-life feminists, so we had all this research done by great historians, and we've been sharing the word. If you've ever heard a pro-life feminist quote, it's because our historians did a great job of unearthing what had been hidden or forgotten by women's history professors. So if a lot of people now are hearing about Susan B. Anthony as a great pro-life publisher, not just a suffragist. They know about Elizabeth Cady Stanton, the founder of the women's movement, was a pro-life woman and a mother of seven children. Or you've heard of Alice Paul, the author of the Equal Rights Amendment, who was asked after the ERA was supported by NOW, what do you think about linking abortion to women's rights? And she said, how can we support women when we kill them as children? And she called abortion the ultimate in the exploitation of women. And we have compiled all these incredible quotes on our website, feministforlife.org, and check out, this is every woman and every man in the United States. This is your history. And we want to share it with you so that you know that these early American feminists and Feminists for Life today continues to work to make sure that circumstances don't make a woman feel that it's necessary to have an abortion, that they know that there's love and real help out there through WomenDeserveBetter.com, and that there are great people across this country who are working every day in different ways to make sure that all women's lives are protected. Some people are working on it legally, Others are working for it medically through the pregnancy resource centers, and others through advocacy and education like feministforlife.org, whether it's on campus or on the Hill or within society in the workplaces. That's what Feminist for Life is doing. We're focused on pregnancy and parenting resources and support because we know who's at highest risk of abortion.
How did the women's movement get hijacked away from the sensibilities and the values of those earliest suffragettes who were pro-life, adamantly pro-life? They viewed it as a major part of what it meant to be pro-woman. How did it get hijacked, Sarah?
That's such an important question, Todd. Thank you for asking. The 70s women's movement was really originally about looking at women's lives and just asking, you know, where are we in the workplace? Where are we in terms of higher education, et cetera? And there were two men, and I hate to sound like a typical feminist blaming it on men, who approached the leadership of the women's movement in the 1970s, and that was especially Betty Friedan, who was very close to a man who co-founded NARAL. At that point, NARAL stood for the National Association to Repeal the Abortion Laws. It later became National Alliance for Reproductive Rights Action League, or NARAL. And we've heard that name under a million different ways of calling themselves. But in terms of what they did was they approached the leaders of the women's movement and said, look, little ladies, if you want to be hired like a man and paid like a man and promoted like a man and educated like a man, then basically you have to pass as a man. And they said, you know, the employer shouldn't be bothered by your problems of having children. It's a disruption in the workplace. Why should it be his problem if you have to take off time for maternity leave, as if fathers didn't take off time to be with their wives when they were giving birth, or as if fathers never left to go see a child playing soccer or whatever. So what happened with Roe was that they pushed this narrative that if you wanted to have equal rights to a man, you have to be a man. And that is so wrong. That is so anti-woman. But I don't want to blame it all on men, because Sarah Weddington, the attorney who argued in 1971, 2 years before the Supreme Court handed down the twin decisions of Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton, she accepted the problems that women faced in the workplace. She accepted pregnancy discrimination. Instead of being a true feminist and saying this was unacceptable, she capitulated and said that we can't burden our employers and even our schools with the problems of pregnancy. Now, we have a lot of married people in law school, and those who are going through medical school, they aren't supported like they should be. And Feminists for Life and other groups are following us in terms of changing the situation on campuses, and also as they grow up and they graduate in schools, and from schools they go on into their employment, or they become writers or journalists, they become judges, they become healthcare providers, etc. So working through focusing on the college students who are really on the ground helping us get a word out that women deserve better than abortion on that level, they can grow up and really change the community, change their employers, change the nation, and therefore change the world. That's really what we want to do. Change the way people see pregnancy and parenting and support expectant fathers as well as birth mothers. Not just moms, but everybody in the picture.
Do you sense, especially in events like the March for Life, an increased involvement of young women?
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. There are so many schools sending busload after busload of students to these things. These students are thrilled to get the opportunity to come to Washington, D.C., and if they can't make it there, they're in Los Angeles, they're in San Francisco, but I got to tell you, there are thousands of students who just came from St. Louis this weekend. It is amazing to see. And we had a couple of student conferences, and they're packed. They're absolutely packed. And it's every year, you keep on wondering, how are we going to get more room to fit everybody in? There were huge wait lists for the student conferences at Georgetown this weekend. It was amazing.
What do you say to that woman who may have attended one of those women's marches in the last couple of days, and they say, look, I'm pro-life, but I do want to march for women, and these people seem to want to march for women, but when I got there, I realized that I didn't see any pro-life signs. I saw an awful lot of support for abortion on demand, and as you said, the overall tenor was kind of hostile. What would you say to such a woman?
I would say next year, mark your calendar, back it up one day, and come to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. on Friday rather than Saturday, and be with us, because next year is going to be the centennial celebration of the Susan B. Anthony Amendment, which represents women's right to vote. And it was written by and led by, for 75 years, pro-life women. These women, without known exception, opposed abortion in the strongest possible terms. And you can walk in the footsteps of Alice Paul and other great suffragists, just like they did, through Washington, D.C., or other great cities across this country. But you don't have to choose between women and children, and you don't have to choose between your education, your workplace, and your family. Because we choose you. We choose to support you because we know you deserve better. Women deserve better. All women deserve better. And every child deserves a chance at life, and we welcome you.
Do you think that the face of feminism can be changed back to what it was in its origins? That given enough time, even with all the opposition of the media and other very powerful, well-funded groups that support abortion, want to keep abortion on demand welded to the feminist cause. Do you think it's possible to change feminism back?
I don't just think it's possible. I think it's probable. I think the pendulum is swinging, and I think next year is our best and biggest opportunity to share our rich pro-life feminist history. I mean, in many ways, we're the renaissance of the early American feminist movement, but we're building on it. We welcome everybody, and there are so many strategies for making life better, and, you know, whatever people are called to do in their own personal relationships or whatever they're skilled at, there's ways for them to help in this movement, and many of them, of course, are going to be feminists for life. But even if you don't like the F-word feminist, you know, I want you to sit there and think about what that really means. It doesn't mean against men. It doesn't mean you're a woman. It means that you support all people and you believe in the ability of every human being. That's what a feminist believes in. The basic tenets, again, are nonviolence, non-discrimination, justice for all. And we really mean it. And you can't achieve justice when you destroy children in the womb, and you can't achieve justice when so many women are dying from, who are healthy women, who are dying from legal and lethal abortion, which is so common in this country. Women should not have to lay their bodies down or swallow a bitter pill, and they're calling it choice. Everything we know about abortion, it's not about a celebration, it's about desperation.
Sarah Ann Foster is president of Feminists for Life based in Washington. She's creator of the Women Deserve Better campaign. You'll find a link to Feminists for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sarah Ann, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel, our weekly Teaching a Sunday School lesson feature with him. We'll talk about the boy Jesus in the temple in Luke chapter 22. Why is he there? And what does it mean at the end of that account that he grows in wisdom and stature and favor with both God and man?
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Be strong and courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Hey, Todd, What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.